because okay. of the amount of the grid of the age frame.
So let's start our early Sunday session. So my name is Alexander Vovin, and I will be sharing this session. And our first speaker is Carmen Jai from University of California State University, San Bernardino. And the title of the talk is Early Stages of Orthography Design, the Case of Chusnaban Mishe, if I pronounce it right. I'm East Asian.
That's fine, Chusnaban
Mishe. Okay, please, and welcome.
Actually, I want to say there is a handout, and it's one of the few talks. Draw the handout, so if you want the handout, it's basically the PowerPoint, but it also has an appendix that you may need to look at on the PowerPoint. Basically, I want to look at the early stages of orthography design. Usually when you see studies on orthography and orthography design, they focus on the later stages, which is when you already have an established orthography, you've had it for quite a while, and those studies generally look at the impact over an extended period of time. Now, what I want to do today is look at the early stages of orthography design. So when you go out to the community, you sit down with the community for the first time, and how do you work through the orthography design at that early stage? Many studies, and I just cited a couple here, have shown that these early stages can be very crucial for the success of your orthography later on. You may need to go back and revise a couple of issues later on, but you have to start somewhere. And in this talk, I'm just going to pick a couple of challenges I've faced at this early stage, and I'll show a couple of solutions we have come up with for a couple of particular examples. Just a quick overview of the language. Chusnaban Mishe is a Mexican indigenous language. It is spoken in one village in Oaxaca, and there's about 900 speakers. For those of you who are not familiar with Mixean languages or Oaxaca, the Mixean territory has 290 communities or villages, and each village speaks their own variety. And there has yet to be a lot of research still needs to be done to figure out how many are actually different dialects of which language, how many languages they are, and just looking at the Ethnologue, the last edition, they've already revised what they had for Mixe the previous time. So my guess is in the next decade or so, there are a couple of more revisions to see what are languages, what are dialects, and how those 290 communities are divided into languages and dialects. Many of the varieties, and I'll keep calling them varieties, are mutually unintelligible. Some are partially, they can understand each other. But generally, when people leave the village to a neighboring village or some other village, they speak Spanish because they don't know how different the variety is. Following the framework established by UNESCO, it's not a highly endangered language, but it's still unsafe, vulnerable, or at risk because schooling only occurs in Spanish, and the younger generation, the kids, they don't know how to read and write. It's obviously an unwritten language. They use it at home, but not for schooling, and their dream is just to leave the village, to go to the city, to go to the United States, so they're not really focusing on using the language. And a lot of the newer vocabulary, so you would ask them plant names and things, even just in their surroundings, and they may not even know the Mixe name for it. They may just know the Spanish name because they had it in school. There is no uniform, widely used orthography for Mixean languages, although there have been some attempts to establish one, and I'll talk about that a little bit. This is just to give you an idea about the Mixean territory. There's 19 municipalities. And some linguists have divided the territory in three kind of linguistic areas going by altitude. So you have highland Mixe, midland Mixe, and lowland Mixe. And the variety I'm working on is midland Mixe. Before I go into orthography design, I want to give you a quick overview of the phonemes of the language, which are crucial for orthography design, so you should know what the phonemes are when you start working on orthography. Basically, across the Meehan varieties, the consonants are identical. So the consonantal system doesn't really change that much. What really changes from one variety to another is the vowel system. In this particular table, I also included in square brackets the phonemes that are present in the language, but only in Spanish loans, or the result from Spanish loans. So there aren't that many consonants that are actually Mije consonants. The vowel phonemes, the vowel system in Mije is a little more complex. So you can have 6 to 9 vowel qualities, and I have 3 marginal vowel qualities, and I'll explain in one of the challenges why they are marginal. In addition to the vowel qualities, you have a distinction between long and short vowels and glottalized vowels, interrupted vowels. Interrupted vowels just means you have some glottal portion, some creakiness in the middle portion of the vowel, and they're obviously longer than the glottalized vowels. The glottalized vowels would have a creaky or glottal portion at the end of the vowel. And you have an aspirated vowel, which will have some aspiration towards the end of the vowel, but it's not a coda, it's part of the nucleus. So it's quite a complex vowel system. For this particular project, it's the early stages of orthography design. So when I started to work on the language, I obviously started with IPA, just writing down the sounds I heard until I figured out the phonemes. Once I had the phonemes down, I established a tentative orthography for myself and looking at discussion points to take to the community and to give them the options. So I had some orthography for myself I was using to find options for the community, and then I went to the community with the options and showed them what you can do, and that's when we were working on the working orthography. And I call it working orthography because there still needs to be a lot of testing. You need to go through extensive testing to see how well it works, and it may not be the final orthography, so there may be some revisions, or they may change their mind on certain symbols. My field work, my initial trip in 2006 was quite short. I just established contacts, collected a little bit of data. I was fortunate enough to have one native speaker who had recently left the village, so was quite fluent, live close by in the United States, so I was able to do a lot of transcription, a lot of work while in the U.S., and then I was fortunate enough to receive a SOAS-sponsored trip in 2008, where I was able to go there on a grant for a little longer. And that's when we established the working orthography. So the first week of my trip was sitting down with community members, telling them again about the project, asking for permission, and asking for collaborators on the orthography. And basically, the village officials, all elders, decided that since the language will be written down for the next generation, those are the ones who will forget the stories if we don't write them down, who will forget the language. They wanted them to be involved in the orthography design. So they decided that only young people who had some schooling, so they were about 18 to 22 years old, should collaborate on the orthography design. And they actually made out a call, so when they have an announcement in the village, they just talk and make like a loud announcement, and it's heard in the whole village. So they made an announcement for collaborators, and I think one or two people showed, and the other one was by they were just telling each other, and then we had maybe about 3 or 4 who were working there for a couple of days on the orthography. In general, for the orthography design, there were 4 main principles that we followed. So rather than presenting allophones, and we'll see why that is important here, we decided to, represent the phonemes. They did consider Spanish spelling conventions, as many, many other Mexican indigenous and other indigenous languages spoken in Latin America do, for a variety of reasons. Ease of reading, we tested that, and it's 100%. So when you have Spanish spelling conventions, it's much easier for them to read. And also, if they see it more similar to Spanish orthography, they think it has a higher standard. It's a more important language. In terms of looking at other orthographies, there are a couple of grammars and dictionaries in the area, and there's also this, there's one orthography that is being established by the National Institute for Adult Education that's supposed to work for all Miechen varieties, but it doesn't. So we looked at that as well. They said, yeah, we can look at them, but we really want our own. So we don't really care what others are doing. We want our own orthography. So we can look at those for ideas, but we're not going to use them. So that was their decision. And one of the projects we're working on is an online dictionary. So it was also important to find symbols that are easily found on computer keyboards. And also the younger generations are using emails. And I've seen a couple of younger ones actually post now in Miche a couple of comments, like on MSN Messenger, or they're not yet on Facebook, but I want to show things like that to them. They have other types of social network down there. So next time I go, I want to teach them some other options. Especially the young ones are very, very interested in that. So they may be using it on emails and to post things online. They don't have cell phones yet, but my guess is just a couple of years down the road, they may even be texting in Miche. So definitely important to have symbols that you can find on keyboards. So the resulting orthography for the working orthography, it's mostly shallow, so mostly phonemic orthography. There are some Spanish spelling convention. For example, in Spanish, when you write an H word initially, you don't pronounce it. So writing an H for the sound H didn't work for Miche. They just wouldn't know how to pronounce that. So we had to go to Spanish spelling convention and use a J for that sound, which worked perfectly. You gave it to people in the village who didn't know how to read the language, never saw it written, but they could read that, but they couldn't read it with an H. So the examples I have here, hot, poch, pochene, all use that Spanish spelling convention. Of course, then you had to find a symbol for the sound Y, for the glide, the palatal glide, and we just used a Y. And that's actually quite common in Latin America to use that convention. The other Spanish spelling convention we used is for the palatal affricate in Chuk, Tsuuch, Kaichen. And we just used the CH, and that worked really well. So wherever we introduced the Spanish spelling convention, they worked perfectly because they were so used to seeing those conventions in print. Now, we didn't want to use all Spanish spelling convention. In Spanish, you have voiced stops, or actually not stops, their fricatives are pronounced differently from Miche, so phonetically they're different, but if you look at the symbols, they're voiced stops, and in Miche, they're actually allophonic. So when I showed them a couple of examples, and I would ask them, is it a T, is it a D? And I just showed them where, like, a T would be different from a P, but it wouldn't matter for the allophonic variation. They decided, oh, yeah, it doesn't matter. We don't need to write those. They're just pronunciation. So they didn't want to write the allophones, although they would realize that Spanish is somewhat different. So we have words like tube, agañ, nduk, where you have voiced stops, but they decided not to represent them because they're just allophonic. Now, what they did decide, I said, what about the Spanish loans? You have quite a few Spanish loans where you do have those types of sounds. Do you want to use the Miechen spelling convention, or do you want to use Spanish spelling convention? And they decided, well, if we have Spanish loans, we should just write them as they're written in Spanish. It'll be easier for reading, and we're able to recognize them. So they decided to just go on with the Spanish spelling convention for the loans, especially the easily recognizable loans, and not worry about Miechen spelling convention for that. So this is the phoneme to grapheme correspondence, the table, and you see that most symbols are actually available on regular keyboards. For the special vowel qualities, we just used the aorises for the ø, ü, and ä, and ø. And all the other symbols are really readily found on keyboards, only that the diaresis may be a little harder. So now I want to briefly touch on a couple of challenges that we faced and a couple of inconsistency, if you wish, because you always have ideas how to write a language, how you do your orthography, but then you come across some challenges where your orthography is inconsistent. And if you know, English orthography is inconsistent in so many ways. One of the challenges I already touched on is not all phonemes from Spanish occur in Mije. So what do we do with those, and what do we do with Spanish loans? And I included the 8 phonemes that only that are only found in Spanish loans in the table I showed you. So they decided, okay, Spanish spelling should be unaltered. If you have Spanish loans, just write them as in Spanish. And then I said, well, what about if you have some phonological adaptation? What do you do with those? And usually they just add a vowel at the end because they don't like the consonant at the end. So that was fine. We would just write that vowel. That's not a major adaptation. But you had some loans that seem to have entered the language a little earlier. So there's some significant adaptation going on, like in Krukts, which is not Cruz anymore. Nanuela, which is not abuela anymore, very different words. So I decided if you have some major adaptations, just represent them. So they like that word for crooks to be written like that, although phonemically it doesn't fit the language, but they thought that that would be a good representation for it. And they would say, well, we just have to decide for each word that is. There are not that many older loans that they could think of. We would just have to decide for each word. So keep the solutions for that problem was keep the spelling for the Spanish loans, except for older adapted loans. Find solutions on a case-by-case basis, and don't write the allophonic voice stops in words of Mijen origin, just in Spanish loans. And these are just some examples here, and in the interest of time, I'm just going to skip the examples. The next major challenge was the Mijen vowel system, which for once is also the reason for many different orthographies in the Mijen world, because they just represent some of the sounds, some of the vowel sounds differently in different varieties. One of the problems is the marginal vowels. So I have 3 vowels. And one, like the A, E, seems to be phonemic in certain examples. So I have talk for mother, tack for suddenly, matsk for one who grabs, matsk for two. But then you start recording data and you have, for example, the word for two can range from matsk all the way to matsk. And then you say, okay, wait a minute. So is it matsk or is it matsk? And you would get a long pause, no answer. So I said, which one is it? It doesn't matter. Okay, so say it. And then said it once, mask. I said, oh, okay, it's mask. And then she said, yeah, mask. Okay, so there's just some free variation. And I think it has to do with dialect borrowing, maybe, because the dialects are so different in terms of the vowels, and that's where you find the greatest variation. So depending on, you know, their family members, they may have been in contact with neighboring villages or with some other varieties, so there's just some dialect borrowing. The other challenge was some of the laryngeal features. So for example, you have a phoneme H which can function as a coda in the language, but you also have those aspirated vowels. So should I use a superscript little h for the aspirated vowels, but what do I do with my keyboards? That will be a nightmare. Or should I just use h for the vowels as well, but do I have homographs? So will I find words that are just written the same, but I have 2 different meanings? We thought of words that could be homographs, and we couldn't come up with any, okay? So maybe as we go along with the documentation, we may come across a homograph. We just couldn't think of any when we looked at it, but we figured it wouldn't be a major issue. So if we can think of any right now, there may be 1 or 2 words, but we shouldn't worry about them. So they decided to write the age the same if it's part of the nucleus or a coda. Another feature of the language is you can't have vowel initial words. So you insert an obligatory glottal stop at the beginning, so you have some creakiness. Should we write that stop or not? Should we write a little apostrophe for the glottal stop? And when I explained it to them, we looked at a couple of examples. They said, oh no, that's fully predictable. It doesn't matter. It doesn't really have any sense, so we shouldn't write it. So we decided to use the aorists for the vowel qualities, for the extra vowel qualities. We used to represent the free variation. So I said, what do I do with the word for two? Do I write it as mask or write it as mask? And a couple of other words that were like that. I said, you know, just write it as you hear it. So it doesn't matter if it's written one way or the other, because it doesn't really matter to us. It's the same word. So there may be some variation in some of the vowels, but it'll have to do with dialect borrowing, and they may just have to decide later on if they want to be strict about it or if they just like it, you know, as they hear it. Okay, I'm almost out of time, so let's jump to the next one. There's supersegmental palatalization, and supersegmentals are always kind of complicated. How do you, you know, put them in writing? And palatalization affects the consonant and the adjacent vowels. It is perceived as an on-glide and as an off-glide with most consonants, but not all. And it also changes the position for some of the consonants here. It's most apparent for the Africa ts, which becomes ch in a palatalized environment. But there are two different processes. You have morpheme-induced palatalization and phoneme-induced palatalization. So morpheme-induced palatalization occurs at word edges. So you have a third-person possessive. So took house will become took his or her house. But you also have phoneme-induced palatalization word medially in compounds. So if you have a word ending in palatal glide, that will cross over to the next word. But they're phonetically two different processes. So the first one doesn't trigger voicing. The second one does trigger voicing. So phonetically, they're two different processes. And basically what they decided to do, and I showed them again a couple of examples, and I said, how would you like to do that? They decided in morpheme-induced palatalization to write just the palatal glide after the palatalized consonant. With one exception, the affricate t, they would just represent it following the Spanish spelling convention and not worry about any glides. In phoneme-induced palatalization, they decided to write both the on-glide and the off-glide. Obviously, the on-glide is the triggering glide, so they can't really omit that. So this particular rule implies some grammatical and lexical knowledge, so you need to know where the palatalization is coming from in order to correctly represent it in the orthography, and they thought it wouldn't be an issue at all. They would always know where to write it because they could actually hear the difference. I'm gonna jump this next part because my time is up. There are a couple of cues for word boundaries. Usually when you come across an unwritten language, you have to figure out where a word starts and where a word ends. And there are a couple of phonemic processes that are, and phonetic processes that will give you some cues for word boundaries. But in many instances, you have compound words where you have no cues and you would just need to figure out what to do. And basically, what they decided is to just use a case-by-case scenario. So you have a compound word, and then you ask them, should you write it together, should you write it separate? I said, you know, we can just decide on a case, but it doesn't really matter to us. What it does matter is the verbs. So they have, it's a polysynthetic language, so they have very long verbs, which can be very difficult to read. You have those ginormous words, but they decide you can't split them up. There's no way you can split them up. There is root compounding, there's prefixing, there's suffixing. You can't separate out any of the parts. So they decided to keep the long words. So solutions were watch for phonological and other cues in compound words, but if there aren't any, you know, you just decide on a word-by-word basis. And always write the verb complexes as single words. Don't split them up. I'm going to skip this part. These are just a couple of changes that occurred from the tentative orthography I took with me to the village. So there were very few changes that they decided on to do for the working orthography. And there's, of course, many unresolved issues in this early stage. So we haven't really talked about casual speech, some shortening forms, some shorter words. Dialect borrowing is one that will come up again. And obviously, punctuation and capitalization, we haven't even touched on that. They didn't really worry about that so far. So just to conclude here, orthography development depends on many factors, linguistic and non-linguistic. And some decisions in this early stage may just be provisional and need to be revised later as you do some extensive testing and some more documentation becomes available. And you can't start an orthography with at least some preliminary analysis of the language, so you need to have the phonemes down and maybe some other parts of the language, some morphology to work on an orthography. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. We have about 5 minutes.